This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
We are wrapping up our Peaks and our Valleys series today, and it's fitting because we're at a baby dedication peak, right? We've got the Super Bowl later tonight with the Detroit Rams. I know, I think I need to get one of those shirts. Maybe some of you are feeling a little hurt, but I'm happy for them. So we'll see how that works out, but we've got another peak, maybe a valley for some of us tonight. It has been such just a gift, though, to be led through this series by Pastor Ron as he taught us through a bunch of weighty issues, right? We talked about doubt and discouragement, worry and anxiety, pain and suffering. Really happy times here at Bridgeway. But today we're finishing up with one last valley, and then we're done with this series. We're going to move on to the next. But we're going to be talking today through a seemingly common experience, human experience, is that we build up to something, and then we find out that there's just this letdown of life sometimes. We build up, and then there's this letdown. We expect something to go a certain way, and well, it doesn't. Life happens. A lot of times we get into, and I'm guilty of this, but we get into this idealism, this perfection in the moment mindset. And you can get this, like if you think back to a young couple, if you look ahead towards a young couple who just gets engaged, and they have a lot of idealism, and they're looking at, oh, we're going to have the best marriage. We'll never fight. We're going to bring fresh flowers every day. We're going to have candlelight dinners and romance and affection. We're going to have perfect little baby dedicated kids that obey and never do anything wrong. Does any of this ringing a bell? Like, you ever had these thoughts? And then reality hits a little bit, and sometimes you might feel like marriage is reduced to, this is more like a roommate sometimes, or they don't even really cook. They don't even come home on time from work. Oh, man. And then I got my chores and my kids, and then I'm way too exhausted to even have any romance. Sometimes we get to this, and we realize that we have this idealism, this perfect family picture, and then we realize we didn't hit it, and it leaves us in a valley. And not being perfect is the valley that says you don't measure up. The experiences of life aren't what you had hoped to be. Could be in your work or a project, perfectionist in raising your kids, or grades maybe, or that Pinterest magnolia perfect home. This valley gets really dark when perfectionism rules your life. A constant, all-prevailing feeling of never measuring up, never doing enough, being enough, pleasing people enough, a disappointment to yourself, and you spiritually feel like you are letting God down. Aren't we building each other up today? This is really good, right? Come on, Mike. But it does. Like, and I can be my own worst critic in this, because it leads to me belittling myself, being hard on yourself, and demanding of others. I know a thing or two about perfectionism. In my hobbies, I play soccer, so I'm still looking for my perfect soccer goal every time I go out and play, or the perfect home project at home that's going to have nice, clean corners. Or even in my job here as a pastor, I'm looking for every sermon to be perfect, or my perfect discipleship. I get sucked into this as well. And sometimes I get so sucked into it, I get so much into this, I feel the pressure of it, I just want to scream, like, help, I'm not perfect. You ever hear that? You ever think that yourself? Help, I'm not perfect. I don't see anybody else screaming here that out. So I'm going to hopefully help you embrace this a little bit. Can you turn to your neighbor and can you say this to them? I'm not perfect, and neither are you. Some of you are getting a little louder at the neither are you part. You remember the first part, I'm not perfect and neither. Okay. My hope is that you can leave here today not just saying that, but walking in the freedom of it. So if you've got a Bible, can you turn to Genesis 1? And if you don't have a Bible, we're still going to be in Genesis 1. We're going to read the whole thing today. Just kidding. Just a few verses. I love Genesis because this is our starting point as Christians. Our worldview begins with God, the author, the creator, the designer of everything, from nothing. No other religion says that. Atheism is, in fact, actually harder to believe, I think, because there's this cosmic bang, and then it randomly happens. I love how we have this picture of how it all began, and I think it's important to go back to it. So Genesis brings us back, roadmap for creation, identity, relationship, marriage, family. And a side note, if you look at the world around and you ever think, something's not right, something's just not right around here, it's because of these opening scenes. You have 5 days of creating, right? We've got 5 days of creating the sun, the stars, land, plants, oceans, sharks. My kids aren't back there, so I'll say eagles. That's not their favorite, but if they were in the room, I'd say, what did we just talk about? Red-bellied snakes or something? And finally, the sixth day after all of that, let's just read it. Chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Someone once said that the biggest hurdle in discipleship is knowing who God is and who you are. This verse answers both. God, three persons, you see the us there, not only creates mankind in his image, but then says, go, rule over, have dominion, domesticate. It's the Lion King, but you are the king of the jungle. Can you just think about that for a moment? He didn't say to the giraffe, you are going to be made in my image. We're all going to have long necks and really long legs. Or to the dog, right? He didn't say that to the dog either. I love my dog. I've got a dog as well. Well, most of the time I love my dog, except for when it's barking at the neighbors. But he didn't say, Fido, I'm going to make you in my image, in my likeness. Have you ever had your mom or your dad say, the world doesn't revolve around you? Well, she or he is right, but he does love you a lot. God does love you a lot. He says things like, you are the apple of his eye, you are loved, you are cherished, and if you look at this, you are the sixth day, you are the pinnacle, the last thing of his creation, and you are given his image and his likeness. There was a Gatorade commercial in the 90s. I don't know if anybody was around. Nobody probably here was born at that point, so we could skip. I'll just tell you what it was about. So it was featuring all these kids. They talked about a basketball player by the name of Michael Jordan. Probably nobody's ever heard of him. He's trying to dribble and dunk. And there's this kid, and he's thinking, sometimes I dream that he is me, like Mike. If I could be like Mike, not this Mike, the other Mike, I want to be. It's super cute, right? Like, I think of that, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so awesome. Like, I wish I could be like Mike and jump and fly through the air. But better, if we have that image, that's the image I want to have towards the Heavenly Father, because that's a better image. I want to be like the Heavenly Father, his perfect Son, the Holy Spirit. He says that we are made in his image. Let's jump to Genesis 2:7. Next chapter over. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God breathes the breath of life into us. We're dust from the ground. You share his image, likeness, and his breath. It's kind of an interesting thought if you think about it. We're living on borrowed breath. If we're going to begin to walk through the valley of perfection, you must know who you are and whose you are. I'll say it again. You must know who you are and whose you are. It's tempting in this perfectionist mindset to run something like this through your head. I'm an early riser, and I get my list done before most. I'm an organized, productive leader who gets tasks done, and I get it all done. I'm a successful jetpack to the top, healthy, wealthy, and wise. We just want to keep on going there. Like, that's how I want to define myself. But no, you're a child of God. Without God, you're dust. But you are made in his image, in his likeness. You share his identity. You're not perfect. You're a work in progress. In fact, I've said this a few times. You're a real piece of work. This was God's intent, design. No striving, no measuring up, no worrying about perfection. You had a garden. You're naked and unashamed, boundaries, the only one boundaries that we had around was there was one tree that said, do not eat from it. Until the crafty serpent snake created doubt. Isn't that funny that that's his whole thing, to create doubt? Is God's plan good enough? If you take this story at face value, if the serpent really wanted to destroy Eve, wouldn't he have just said, just bite it? Right? But instead, the serpent wants to destroy all of God's creation likeness, Adam and Eve. So the serpent says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree? No, just this one. Oh, so you can't touch it or you'll die? Let's pick back up on this story in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. You look back at verse 5, there it is again. He says, like God. You will be like God. But that's the lie. This is the lie that we need to catch in this verse. You are already like God. So when the devil says you can be like God, no. You are already like God. He made you in his likeness. It's yours. It's the lie of perfectionism too. I gotta do more, try harder, be better, ace the next test, have the perfect body, teeth, hair, beard. I'm still working on that. Perfectionism is the lie that you aren't enough. That you have to add what God has created, that you have to add to what God has created in you. You gotta tell the serpent he's wrong. You already have it all. You could say from Genesis 3 to Revelations 21 is the story of humanity trying to get back to this perfect creation, to this perfect state, this idealistic garden. And many try to do this through money, sex, achievement, performance pressure, or pride-filled statements, put-downs of others, and filling the emptiness and lack of self-worth. There's a video that went viral by Brené Brown a few years ago. It had like 17 million views. Research studied the effects of shame and the gift of imperfections that we are. When you get, she said, when you get to a place where you understand that love and belonging, your worthiness is a birthright and not something you have to earn. Anything is possible. Keep worthiness off the table. Love that last line. Keep worthiness off the table. Do you hear what she's saying? Things you value, trying to be good at, are fair game. Your raise can be on the table. Your promotion, title, sure. Your grades can be on the table. Work hard, of course, but keep your worthiness for love and belonging off the table. You can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God wants you to know it. I'm going to say that again so you can just hear it. You can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God wants you to know it. If you hear it from no one else, let me remind you, you are worthy of love and companionship, but not from somebody else, because people will let you down. We already said we aren't perfect. So we aren't perfect at giving others what they need to feel whole. There is a way, and it's the way God rescues and redeems each of us. The way is Jesus. Because sin was disobedience to God, a price had to be paid. And Jesus paid that price in full. See that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's grace. And as I wrap up my last thought here, can I have the band start making their way up? Here's the line that I would love to just leave you with. Our perfection comes through grace. Our perfection comes through grace. You see, we take his perfection. We take Jesus' perfection, and he got our sin. So when Jesus dies, he takes our sin, but we get his perfection. Our perfection comes through grace. Jesus, the only way to receive grace is to come through Jesus. It's a free gift of life now. The promise that in God's eyes, you are enough. More than enough. Not a one time, but all the time. We need grace. Dallas Willard said this line, saints burn grace like jet fuel. Saints burn grace like jet fuel, and that's what you are. You are all saints. You realize you need him more, not less. We need him more. So we need to call on him. Why don't we do that now? Let me pray. Father God, we come to you now with our mess. Honestly, we come to you as we are with our mess, not perfect, knowing that we need your grace. We need you more than anything. And we're so grateful for the gift of grace that your son has given us. That we can put our mess, our sin on him, and that we get his grace. God, I just pray that over each person here, that they could hear your words speaking to them. You call them your children. They are your image and your image bearers. They are made in your likeness, worthy, because they are yours. Not that they have to add to it today. They don't have to add anything else. They don't need to work harder to add to this grace. They don't need to work harder to be more perfect. They already are, because they have your son's perfection. Thank you, God, for you. I pray that you would be with us as we go into these next songs to proclaim as a response to you how great you are and our deep love for you. Because of your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.